Tattoo artists in Dallas doing house visits, HMU.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We are back with another DFS show for today. Make sure if you haven't seen it already, go and check out yesterday's podcast where it's another one of the 2017 rookie draft recap shows. We went through picks 5 to 8. So that is De'Aaron Fox, John Isaac, Lauri Markkanen, and Frankie Ntilikina. So go and check out that podcast, plus the one we did earlier or later last week with the top four picks. And later this week, I get the feeling we're going to be doing another one of those where we look at picks 9 through 12, which is Dennis Smith, Zach Collins, Malik Monk, and Luki Kennard. So check that out. That'll be coming later in the week. But for today, we're looking at Tuesday's action from a DFS point of view. There's only two games on. So as a reminder, again, smaller slates, go a bit low with what you're putting into those contests. And FanDuel in particular has responded, and they've reduced the pricing to some guys below their usual minimum of $3,500. But I'm waffling. Michael Bolton's waiting in the wings.
Let's get to it.
Now we can start talking about that sort of stuff. Need to get Mick out of the way. So let's get into these games and talk about them. The first one is game one in round two, but between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. The Cavs heading to Toronto. If you haven't seen it, I did pick the Raptors to win this in six, and I feel completely unconfident with it. I got all 8 of the first round predictions right. Not in terms of games. I got 5 of those right in terms of the amount of games, but all 8 winners right. I've got the Warriors, I've got the Rockets, I've got the Sixers, and I've got the Raptors in this round. So we'll see how that all pans out, but I'm feeling very unconfident with the Raptors, despite them being the one seed and being very good and it being a very different Raptors team to how it has been in the past when some of that other bullshit has crept into what they've done. Let's have a look at this from a DFS point of view. At this stage, the Raptors are favored by 6.5 points, and the total is 215.5. Thankfully, in terms of injury stuff, we're fairly in the clear here. Fred VanVleet is back. George Hill is back for Cleveland. But I think the big question is going to be is what's Cleveland going to do with their starting lineup? In the last game, they started LeBron at point guard, and they had Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup. But I'm not 100% sure that that's what they'll do against Toronto. They can get Kevin Love out there and really minimize the impact that Jonas Valanciunas has by just picking and popping him to death. And that's a real scenario, especially considering how much George Hill played in that second half as well. I wouldn't be shocked to see Hill back in for Thompson, because if Thompson does play and play, you know, a big role, that does increase the amount of playing time that Valanciunas likely gets. And Valanciunas is a far superior player to Tristan Thompson, and that could work into Toronto's advantage. So I think there's a 50-50 chance that Thompson starts. Maybe let's go 51-49 in the 49 being Thompson starting. So I do think that they'll go back to George Hill there to try and minimize or at least put that pressure on Dwayne Casey to not play 30 plus minutes to Valanciunas. Because as you know, I think Valanciunas is very good, but he can be exposed a little bit, pick and roll defensive stuff. And, you know, having Kevin Love out there, that allows you to do more of that thing rather than Tristan Thompson. So we'll see how all of that goes, but it is a concern that I do have with that arrangement of guys. Now, on FanDuel, let's look at how the point guards match up. Freddie VanVleet is at 2,500. I am all over that. He came back in game 6. Played 19 minutes and had 15 points. And 15 points it's not fantastic. It's still good value at 2,500. And if that's all he's doing, then I'm all for it. This is a guy that across the last 3 times he's played Cleveland, he's averaged 31 FanDuel points. 2,500 is almost impossible to let go of, especially when you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis at $12,500 and $1,300. You need to get a guy like VanVleet in there. to enable you to roster those guys. Kyle Lowry is up to 8,300. He was giving you 41, 42 pretty much every game against the Wizards. Happy to go with him again at that sort of a salary. I think he's a strong option. Well, Georgie Hill at 4,400. There's obviously doubt there. He has had his struggles, but he did drop 25 points in 19 minutes. And I think all of those minutes came in the second half of game 7 against the Pacers. And if Hill does start at 4,400, he is a tremendous option, I think, at that sort of a price. But you might not need to go with two cheap point guards. You might, and that might enable you to have both LeBron and Davis and Durant, or put Steph in, or any of those sort of guys. But you could do a Van Vliet Hill backcourt and load up in other, well, obviously you couldn't put Steph in because he's a point guard, but in other areas. DeLon Wright's at 5,300. He's giving you 25, 26 every game. Not totally in on him. I think, you know, if you look at his past performances, he looks like a solid cash option, but just with the Van Vliet minutes potentially going up, I'm not in on DeLon at that sort of a price. For the shooting guards, you've got DeMar DeRozan at 8,500. Yeah, it hasn't quite been at that level, but I still think, again, with a two-game slate on, he's clearly in play to be a fairly strong option there, so I'm okay with him. The plumber, J.R. Smith's at 4,000, always just a tournament guy. You cannot rely upon him in any cash setting. While Rocket Rodney Hood and Jordy Clarkson, they combined for 1.4 FanDuel points last game in 18 minutes. They were putrid. They're at 3,000 for Clarko and 2,500 for Rocket. I can't see using either of those guys in really any sort of lineup, especially when you can get a $2,500 Fred Van Vliet in there, as opposed to the cheapness of their value. At small forward, the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
I think the Jedi could see increased minutes here because they will be using him to match up on LeBron quite a bit. It doesn't mean he's necessarily going to put up good numbers. He's averaging only 14 points over the last five and only 10 over his last three. But at 2,500, if he somehow works it to 15 points, to 18 points, then there might be value there. But I'm not feeling super confident about that. While LeBron...
LeBron James.
False start on that. The sound drop there. 13,000. That's obviously a shit ton of money, but he has been doing absolutely everything for this Cavs team. And again, if you can fit some of these cheaper guys in around him, you can make it work, because there's almost no chance that LeBron is getting under 60. That's a really strong floor. He's still more tournamenty, but you might be able to make it work for cash as long as you've got, you know, putting a guy like, you know, Rodney Hood in for cash is probably not a great idea, even though he is cheap, but you could get it to work with LeBron there. CJ Miles at 3,500, you only ever want to consider Miles for tournaments, but I'm not looking too closely at him. Another guy who could see an increased role, mainly due to matchups, is Pascal Siakam as power forward. Now, he's another one of the guys, probably the second option that the Raptors will use on LeBron. He's at 3,500, and he's coming off a 30-point game in Game 6. Now, I don't think 30 points is a realistic expectation, but at 3,500, I think 20 might be able to get there. So I don't hate him as being that option that potentially you could put alongside LeBron in cash and go, let's get 20 and let's go from there. I think it's worth looking at. As for Kevin Love, he's at 6,300, and the numbers for him have not been good at all. I think he can have more success against Toronto than what he had against Indiana, so I like him quite a bit at this cheap price for a tournament. I'm not ready to go cash, but it wouldn't be the worst thing. Serge Ibaka also struggled in those last games against Washington, and as a result, his salary is down to 4,700. Against Cleveland, I think he's at a 25 to 26 point, maybe not ceiling, maybe 30-point ceiling, which is okay. There's something there. Again, it's another cheap option. I think I would rather, you know, save that 1,200 and take Siakam. But if I've got the extra 1,200, then I will take Serge. It's a simple way of, you know, assembling lineups. Larry Nance at 3,700 just really can't get anything going. He's been overtaken by Tristan Thompson, it appears. I think we'll leave him alone. While Jeff Green...
My name is Jeff.
He's at 3,500. He keeps getting 20 minutes a game and keeps doing nothing with him, so you can leave him alone fairly comfortably. At center, Tristan Thompson is at $2,000. $2,000. Now, that is extraordinarily cheap. Now, I don't think that Thompson's going to play the 35 minutes he played in Game 7. I don't think he's going to have the 32 FanDuel points that he had in Game 7. But at $2,000, I feel pretty bloody confident that he's going to get me 12 or 14 FanDuel points, and that in itself there is plenty of, it's heaps of value. And if he gives you 20 points, then you've smashed it and you've really done it. Now, again, I have the concern of them not starting him because of the Valanciunas situation. But if he starts, that is as no-brainer lock cash play as you can possibly get, I think. He could shit the bed and I could look completely stupid, but I think it's great at that price. As for JV, he is at 6,500. I hate the price. I hate the potential matchup here. Not interested. And I love Valanciunas, but I'm worried about how Casey uses him here. Jakob Poeltl's at 3,600. I'd feel more comfortable using Poeltl than Valanciunas. A $3,000 saving at 3,600. If he gets 18 points, you're already there pretty much. So I'd consider him. But yeah, Thompson at 2,000. That price ratio value is just too much to pass up, in my opinion. Over on DraftKings, yeah, fairly similar stuff. They didn't bump their salaries down as much. In fact, Tristan Thompson went up all the way to 4,600, and that makes him pretty impossible to use, in my opinion. I love Van Vliet at 37, Lowry at 77, DeRozan at 78, even Love at 6,400 is in a really good spot on DraftKings. LeBron at 11,900 is impossible to ignore, I believe. And then you've got, you know, Georgie Hill and Serge Ibaka and Siakam as your tournament guy. So similar stuff there with those players. More value on LeBron, much less value on Tristan Thompson when we compare it to FanDuel. If we have a look over on Yahoo, for this one, Van Vliet's a minimum salary guy. Again, really hard to ignore that. Same with George Hill at minimum salary, and Kevin Love down to 23, I think, is a strong, strong cash play. I like Lowry. I like DeRozan. I think LeBron at $58 is a tough one to get fully behind, but it's not the wrong decision. You can very easily do that. It's not the one that I'd be, all about straight away, but there's obviously some value there. In LeBron, I think the Plumber, the Jedi, Thompson and Poeltl do have a tournament upside over on Yahoo. All right. Let's go on to the second game of the day for Tuesday. It's the New Orleans Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors. We do have a game to look back, game one. It was a fairly big, fairly comfortable victory for the Golden State Warriors. No Steph, but he is listed as probable for this game, so we're expecting Curry to be back. Now, the interesting thing that Golden State did in game one is they started with Draymond at center. They had Andre Iguodala at point guard, Nick Young at shooting guard, Klay Thompson at small forward, then Durant at the four, and that's just an easy switch to put Steph in place of Nick Young, keep Draymond at center, and I think that's exactly what they will do. Quinn Cook still played 22 minutes in that game one. That will reduce quite significantly with Steph back. Kevon Looney as the primary backup big man ahead of JaVale McGee, Damian Jones, Zaza Pachulia, and Jordan Bell is likely something that will continue in game two as well. And he played 24 minutes in game one. But it was Draymond, it was Klay, it was Durant who really led the way, and Nick Young played 21 minutes, but I wouldn't be stunned at all if Young does not play a single minute in the next game. He probably will, but I wouldn't be stunned if he doesn't. For the Pelican side of things, I think Rondo could struggle a bit in this series. He had, 9, 8, and 11, nowhere near as impactful as what he was in the Portland series. He could just really get, dominated offensively, by whoever the Warriors match up on him. That could be a real problem. That could limit him from being 37, 38 minute Rondo to 32. So that's something to watch. Mirotić struggled, but he has done okay against the Warriors in the past. Everyone struggled pretty much. Jrue Holiday didn't have, or he had a shit game in comparison to what he'd been doing. Tone Davis was still pretty strong, and then they emptied the bench, and we saw 8 minutes out of Jordan Crawford, which isn't something we necessarily should be anticipating in each game. It was such a comfortable victory that not everything from this game is necessarily going to stick in terms of rotations as we move forward into game two here. Now, the Warriors are favored by 10.5, and the total is a very robust 226.5 points in this one. As I said, Steph has been upgraded to probable. For the point guards, Ian Clark is down to 2,500, and that 2,500 is not the equivalent of a Fred VanVleet 2,500. Clarko had 5 points in 28 minutes in game one. He's averaging only 9 points over the last 5 games, and you should take VanVleet every single time in every single cash game over Clark, in my opinion. Now, you could go contrarian and throw Clarky into a tournament and have very few people going for him, but I wouldn't be looking that way in cash. As for Steph on FanDuel, he is at $9,000. I would have to imagine that Steph coming back will be slightly limited. So at 9,000, I'm definitely not rushing to use him. Now, if he was at full health and he was at 9,000, then you'd be all about it. So you could consider him a tournament guy because he could very easily drop 40. But is 40 enough? No, it's not. He needs to go higher than that. So I'm not sure it's the one you want to go for. Shawnee Livingston, no thanks. And Rajon Rondo's at 7,400. And despite struggling, Rondo still had 39 points in game one. I still don't feel that he's the best option to use here, especially when I could go and use a Van Vliet and Lowry or, you know, throw a Georgie Hill in there. I'm just not sure that Rondo, I think there's still a level of concern in this matchup for him against Golden State. Drew's at 8,400, obviously struggled in game one. He had 21 points there. I think 8,400 is too expensive for Holiday, and I will be leaving that alone. I would much prefer Klay Thompson at 6,800, who had 41 in game one. And yes, he's some of his shots, and that will reduce a little bit when Steph returns. But I still think at that price, that's a really cheap price, that he can give you that value and give it to you fairly comfortably. As for Uncle P, he's down to 2,000 bucks. And even though he started game one, he gave you 10 points, which at 2,000 bucks is okay. But when Steph comes back, I imagine his touches, his minutes, they're all disappearing. At small forward, Durant's at 10.5. Love that. Absolutely love it. That's a 50 burger coming your way. All about that. Etwan Moore's at 4,300. Okay. Game one, not really feeling it. Iguodala, Solly Hill, Darius Miller. If I'm taking a flyer on any of those guys, it's Miller, who had 24 in game one, and he's one of those guys who can get hot from three. But none of those other guys really excite me too much. At power forward, Draymond's at 8,800. He is really, really playing well. You know, killed the Pelicans. Had 63 in game one. Absolutely no problem using him. While Kevon Looney's at 3,600. Given the minutes, and the fact that he had 20 in game one and it wasn't his best game, his ability to really go big in blocks and steals, I think 3,600 is a great price for Kevon Looney and a nice cheap way, even in cash, but more steered towards tournaments to use that spot. While Nick Mirotic is down to 7,400. That's getting close to where it needs to be. I don't think it's the wrong decision to use him, especially with such a limited field of players that you're choosing from, but he wouldn't be my number one guy. While Dave West, if Dave West was at 3,900, I'd love it. I'd say cash that in. Bang, let's go. He'll get you 21, 22. At 4,400, I feel that's probably just a little bit too high to be the guy that you want to be all about there. At center, you got Tone Davis, 12,700. Much like LeBron, it's an expensive price, but there are cheap guys that you can fit in around him. And we know Davis is going to be producing pretty much 50, 55 points most nights, which is a really, really strong floor. Would I take him or LeBron? I guess it depends on how else I'm able to structure my team. If we hear Tristan Thompson starting, then putting him in at center is a great move, and having LeBron there on the wing is a much better way to go, I think. But it really does depend on how else you're structuring your team. JaVale McGee, the other center here. Jordy Bell's a power forward. I don't think we need to really care too much about either of those guys. Let's look at it on DraftKings now. Durant's at 9.7, Tone Davis is 10.7. It's almost impossible to go past both of those guys. Draymond at 81 as well. They are absolutely superbly strong cash players, while Klay at 66 is okay for cash, but he's nowhere near the level of Durant, Davis, and Draymond. Drew Holiday down to 7,500. That's a significantly more appealing price tag for Klay on DraftKings as opposed to him, also for Drew on DraftKings as opposed to FanDuel. And while I'm not thinking that that's the one that I'm immediately penciling in, I would consider it a lot more than I would on FanDuel, while Kevon Looney's in the same boat. 3,300, interesting spot there for him, considering the minutes they're giving him. Mirotic, Rondo at 73, not really feeling too much there, although Nick is down to 6,900, so there is something there.
Giggity!
That you could consider. While Steph at 8,500 is, again, really just a multi-tournament entry situation, because we just don't know what sort of level he's going to be at and how many minutes he's going to be playing. On Yahoo, Iguodala's a 12 buck player. I think that's interesting enough, while Looney's at $10, and I really do like Kevon at 10 bucks there. Draymond at 30 is strong. Durant at 48 is really strong. While Davis at 58, I think I'd take LeBron if I'm going to spend that much money on a marquee guy. I'd take LeBron, and Davis doesn't look as appealing. Mirotic also, yeah, not looking to be in a great spot. While David West, this is a spot where I would use him. Minimum salary player over on Yahoo, and that is definitely worth considering, just so you can get some of those other high price guys in, like a LeBron, like a Durant at $48. All right, that is it. Only a two-game slate for Tuesday. Again, we'll be doing the DFS shows. We're doing some of the NBA draft recap stuff. Can't wait to get into the NBA draft 2018 preview stuff, which will be coming in May and June. And then team recap programs coming then as well. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating, review, great way of helping the show. And don't forget to subscribe on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. If this is the first time listening to this show, check out basketballmonster.com. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead analyst over there. We've got all our playoff DFS projections. And if you do become a patron at patreon.com/redrock_beeble, you can see my very early rookie statistical translations, plus get access to our Slack channel. So head up to patreon.com/redrock_beeble. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jonathan Motley.